Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Guys, welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 223. It's a beautiful yet frosty Monday morning here in Manchester. You're listening to this on Tuesday. Hope everyone is doing well. Guys by my side, how are you guys?
I'm always by your side, mate.
You're always by my side. Apart from last Friday where we were battling it out in Abu Dhabi.
I had a black eye.
We'll come on to that. You had a good week?
Yeah.
Or weekend, should I say, because I saw you obviously at the week.
So weekend was good in parts. First things first, this is a golf podcast, but we speak about other sports as well, don't we?
We do.
You like other sports.
I do.
I've become a big rugby fan.
Oh. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I have. Do you support a rugby league team?
I literally know nothing. And when I say nothing about rugby, zero.
So I'm from St Helens, that's no news to you, and if you speak to anybody, certainly in the north of the country, and say I'm from St Helens, the first thing they'll say is, probably, do you watch rugby? And my response has always been, no, not really. That's changed.
What the hell?
That's changed. So yeah, it's class.
Better than football?
You know what? Genuinely, it's more exciting.
I don't want to get into the difference between rugby league and rugby and all this. I mean, what's mad is where I grew up, just outside Bolton. In Bolton, almost nobody played rugby. I'm sure people in Bolton now say, I play rugby, but hardly anyone. You literally went 15 minutes down the road to Wigan, mm-hmm. and that's all they do is play rugby.
And literally, they don't have jobs, do they? All day.
They're different. They make Heinz baked beans.
Yes.
No, that's not true. People from Wigan are amazing. But rugby is their religion, is their sport. And it's just something that I never did at school. I never got into it. It's something I'm never going to watch.
Well, you know why I'm talking about it, partly. I mean, you know what? You'd actually enjoy it. The reason, jokes aside, is I've got into it a little bit. It's on a Friday, right? Yeah. Friday night. It's about 8 o'clock kickoff. Every single game this year is televised on Sky, which I didn't realize. I think that's the first year ever. So whereas like the Premier League obviously have some on, some aren't. Everyone is on Sky. Yeah. Jeez. So like those three matches on the other night, like it's all these mad Skies, like Sky Sports Arena, Sky Sports Mix, etc. Everyone's on Sky. It's 80 minutes as a game. When the ball is out of play or there's an injury, they stop the clock. So whereas with football, you have loads of extra time. If you look at the screen, you're on 45 minutes, you know, there's 35 left. It's quite simple. But it got me thinking about, obviously, golf, which we talk about a hell of a lot, and we'll talk about today, obviously, and watching golf and how it can be more difficult because how much time you have to commit to sitting down and watching the golf, certainly over a weekend as well, which isn't always possible. But I enjoyed it and I'm going to become a casual fan.
I like it.
Other sports as well. This weekend, for one weekend only, I was a Man United fan, hoping you'd beat City and help us out as a Liverpool fan.
That was a...
And you just didn't.
It was horrendous. So, annoyingly as well, I was out with the family, have a nice family walk, we'd been for a bike ride, the kids wanted to go to the park. I was like, come on kids, I would like to get back for 3:30.
Yeah, you know, of course.
Me and Jude now, massive United fan. This doesn't strengthen my
argument. I know, he wants to support City as well.
To become a United fan. This is really difficult at the moment.
Wow.
So we were walking back and we were almost at the house, but it was about maybe it's quarter to four. So we missed the first 15 minutes. Pull my phone out, check the score,
the goal.
1-0 up. I was like, oh my God. I was like, come on, let's get back, let's get... Complete disappointment after that.
Pathetic.
I mean, I don't know what happened, how we even scored that goal, because we hardly had a kick in their half. But yeah, it was very frustrating, but it's a building block. You know, it takes time. Look at this, I've got a coffee coming in.
Is that for
in.
You? Yeah. Flipping heck. Go on, Ross, bring it in, the podcast.
Please. Thank you.
Hi, Ross.
This is the first time, thanks Ross, talking about trying things new, this is the first coffee I've ever had. We've only got oat milk in the in the office. Oat. Oh, is it oat?
Yeah.
Oak. Oh, yeah, that wouldn't make sense. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Oat milk.
Verdict live on air. Woody, very woody taste to it, that oak.
That's really nice.
Well done.
So, yeah, disappointing football. But you know what? I've decided to change sports completely. You might be talking about taking up a new, you know, watching a new sport. Yep. I'm actually now thinking, it's late in the day, granted, yep. I'm nearly 40, it's getting late in the day, but I don't think it's too late to become a professional marathon runner.
Okay.
I think I've got time.
I think I know where this is going. So last year, to put it in the picture, you did the London Marathon with little to no training, let's be honest.
No training.
And you did it in what time?
5:15.
This year, that's going to get demolished, isn't it? You put in some effort, you put in some miles. I know you did a big run this weekend, I'm sure you're going to touch on. What's the goal this year in the London Marathon time-wise?
I'd like to knock a smooth hour off my time.
So 4:15. 4:15.
4:15 would be a good time for me. I don't think I've got it in me to break 4 hours, but the momentum and the energy on the day definitely makes a big difference.
Can imagine?
But yeah, I'm running it again for It's Never You charity. I am setting up a proper Just Giving link next week. So if I've done it by the time this podcast goes out, I'll put a link in the description. If you can donate, it'd be amazing. For a wonderful charity. We'll get Kerry chatting about the developments of the charity as well this last 12 months since we last heard from Kerry. Really sad story. His son, Hugh, passed away from cancer. He was only 7 years old, and they found that there was no support for parents who had lost children with cancer. So he set this charity up. It's Never You. We'll hear from Kerry hopefully next week or the week after. I'm running for that charity again. I've guaranteed to run for that. I've tried to promise myself I'll run for that charity for the next 10 years at London Marathon.
Wow.
Or at least a marathon each year, whether it be London or other marathon. Last year, I did no training at all. This year, I've definitely upped the training. And Sunday morning, I mean, it couldn't have been a more perfect morning. It's getting lighter.
Yeah.
Into it already.
Correct.
So it's getting lighter now before 7 a.m. It was a warm Sunday. There was hardly any breeze. And at 7:30, I went out on a run. And I wasn't quite sure how far I was going to do. I wanted to do half marathon.
Mm-hmm. What was that, 13.1 miles?
I did it in kilometres. So I was trying to do it in miles. It is 13.1 miles. Yeah. It is. But on my phone, the app that I use has it in kilometres, and I couldn't be bothered changing it. So I changed it to, in fact, I didn't run my phone, I only ran my watch, so I couldn't change it from kilometres. So anyway, I guessed 22 kilometres, which is just over.
Oh, nice.
Just over 13 miles. Did 11 kilometres out, really, really enjoyed it. And then once you get past a certain point, I feel like I could genuinely run forever.
Mm.
Like once I get past that certain point and you're just in the momentum and it feels like I could have a conversation. It feels like I could just run forever. And I beat my previous half marathon time. So I did the Great North Run quite a number of years ago now. I think I did that in 2:10. The run that I did at the weekend, the actual half marathon time was 1:59.
Nice.
56 seconds.
Do that again. You broke 4 hours.
Yeah.
But quick math.
I'd be impressed if I did. So yeah, really enjoyed that. So
that's
I'm excited.
Awesome.
I'm 7 weeks away from the London Marathon. Like I say, we'll get some proper links done for next week, and hopefully if you can support, as always, you're always amazing when you come to supporting charities. It'd be great if you could support it again this year.
Let's film it, call it Break 4, after halfway of sausage roll. Let's see how you get on. Would that help or hinder?
The other thing as well, I actually think you would really struggle with London Marathon. And it's not because of your fitness level or your running ability or anything. You consume that much liquid, you are constantly weeing.
Yeah.
Like, even for me, I reckon for the five and a half hours last time, I did 7 or 8 wees.
And why would I struggle at that?
Because you are a chronic urinator.
I enjoy a good wee. I enjoy a good wee.
So I think if you were to consume so much liquid, you'd never be able to run. Anyway,
I'd be very hydrated. But anyway,
you have to do a Paula Radcliffe.
We'll move on because we're talking about other sports. We're here for golf. Let's be honest. And before we come on to our match, which was live on Friday, it was LIV Golf this weekend again.
It was.
And I've been thinking again, long and hard, about LIV Golf, and they are the absolute masters, let's be honest about this now, at doing something, usually recruitment, which will make you want to tune in to that next edition, next tournament. So obviously we've had John Rahm a couple of months ago, whatever that was, when he first joined, his first event, everybody tuned in to watch John Rahm. For me, already, novelty's gone. I don't care that John Rahm's playing LIV anymore, I'll be honest. This week was a different one. Anthony Kim was signed up to LIV Golf. to play as a what was his, like a guest, a wild card for the remainder of the season, for the rest of the season. And it was inevitable that it was going to cause an absolute storm on social media and in the golf landscape, because Anthony Kim was, he's got this kind of real air of mystery around him. He was a three-time PGA Tour winner. He came third in the 2010 Masters. He played the Ryder Cup in 2008 for America. But he last played professional golf in 2012. So what's that, 12 years ago? And obviously the story was he was injured and had some massive insurance payout, which meant he could never play golf competitively again. I don't know if that's the truth or not. I'm guessing if it is the truth, then Liv obviously paid off.
Certainly from what I heard, it was about 12 million apparently.
So in the grand, sounds ridiculous, but in the grand scheme of things in the world of golf, that's not a lot anymore, is it?
No.
But obviously whether Liv have paid that off for him. But he came back, and I must admit,
I think there's a lot more to his story than what
I
we know.
I think there's a lot more. We'll cut, but yeah, we can't make any guesses.
I think that's the easiest way of saying it. I think there's a lot more to his story, which is going to get unpacked over the next 12 months.
What I was thinking about, right, this is a ridiculous analogy, but I think it might work. There's obviously a lot of history, a lot of interest, intrigue, and tourism around the Loch Ness Monster, isn't there?
No, wow, isn't there? Where are you going with this?
Because, right, there is. There's so much interest around the Loch Ness Monster. Is it real? Is it not? How big is it? What is it? Where do all these stories come from? Imagine
about, we're still
it.
Talking about Loch Ness Monster. God.
Yeah.
You could just ask.
If, however, tomorrow it was uncovered that there was actually quite a big, long, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a snake. What do they call them, Matt, live underwater?
Anaconda?
No, like...
Eel?
Eel. Right. Imagine if it was. There was a big eel. They'd been living in the Loch Ness for all this time. And it was like, yeah, quite big. But like, oh, that's all it was. Oh, fair enough. That whole intrigue would have gone, wouldn't
all,
it?
All the shops have shut down.
Everything's
all the
gone. No American
down.
Tourists are going to Loch Ness anymore because the monster has just been found out to be an eel. The whole... yes, Anthony Kim was an amazing talent. Of course he was. To win three times on the tour, finish third in the Masters, Ryder Cup player, etc., etc. But the whole story, unless he was a cool guy, the whole story, the whole narrative around him was he basically just vanished into thin air. Nobody really saw him. He'd been spotted a few times out in public. He played a couple of like charity games of golf, but nothing competitive for 12 years. So I knew that when he came back, there'd be hysteria, there'd be media all over it. And I was interested, you'd be mad not to be. But I also knew that when he teed off, unless he shot some insane good score, that novelty would very quickly wear off, i.e. the Loch Ness Monster analogy. So we ended up shooting a 16 over par collectively. It was 32 shots off the leader and was last placed by 11 shots. So it was absolutely, you know, horrendous in his performance. Now, yes, it was his first competitive game of golf in 12 years. It was inevitable he wasn't going to play, probably amazing. But, and then back to my original point of live with how much they can get you intrigue, maybe next event I'll tune in again, see if he improves. They might have me then. They might catch me. We'll go, let's see if he can do better. But after that, unless he massively does, that gimmick, and I'll call it a gimmick, no disrespect to Anthony Kim, that gimmick is gone. They have to do something else again to reel me in.
I've got a slightly different take on this.
Okay.
I think after 12 years of not playing competitive professional golf,
mm-hmm.
I actually think he did okay.
Wow.
And listen, I know.
Okay.
I actually think he did okay. And I think the amount, and again, I'd love to know what's gone on his life in the last 12 years, but he certainly looks like he's aged in that 12 years.
Which, again, he would do naturally, but yeah, looks a bit different.
You know, it feels like he's had such a decorated kind of... You know what was funny about it as well? When I look about 12 years ago... I actually almost can't remember Anthony Kim that much. It feels like the hype is bigger than what it actually was back then. I feel like I don't massively kind of recall him being such a monstrous name.
I think it's, again, that's the thing though, it's both. He was a big name, he'd won three times on tour, which keep going back to, but it's the whole narrative, the whole hype is around the fact he went off the face of the earth. That's the point.
I think, genuinely, I think to shoot six over and four over, there's obviously massive room for improvement. He shanked one, he hit a few really rogue shots. It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't come dead last next time round. Mm-hmm. He might do again, but it really would surprise me. I think he's trending in the right direction. I think this was always inevitably going to be him finishing dead last. I mean, he actually didn't. There was actually two golfers that pulled out, Matt Wolf and Wade Ormsby. I don't know. I'm quite intrigued. It definitely caught my attention. I tuned in to watch him tee off. He absolutely piped one down the first, yes, of the 18th hole that he played. I did lose a bit of interest then. I wanted to just see what he scored. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see his opening tee shot and what he scored. And bits in between, I wasn't really that bothered about. But it was very, very, very interesting. Now, what is also very interesting, you've got now, if I'm not mistaken, have you got three wild cards or two? I don't think these wild cards are going to stay wild cards for very long.
To be a new team.
Yeah. I can see a future where you add a couple more players and boom, you've got a new team.
Yeah.
And there's lots and lots and lots of rumours going around about some huge named PGA Tour players potentially switching to LIV.
Really?
Huge names. Did you see the Rory McIlroy interview?
No. Oh, was this about the percent or something of him going? Or
so Chubby Chandler, you may know, used to be managing of Rory. Apparently, he came out. He's got a new book coming out or whatever. But he said Rory will be the next guy that goes. Rory was asked about it in a press conference, and he certainly didn't deny it. And I feel like whenever there's smoke at the moment, there is always fire.
I think for me, yeah, it depends how you look at it. You could argue, you know, it's his first competitive tournament away for 12 years, so is that score respectable? It depends how you look at it. I think for me, when I'm looking at it in a sense of, and this is more on LIV than on Anthony Kim, they are trying to compete with the PGA Tour, and as we've discussed, pros, cons, and in between, in some ways they are competing in terms of attention span and wanting to watch entertaining golf. And I myself have said on many a couple of podcasts recently that I've found myself watching LIV more than PGA Tour. And this will be an example. I watched a bit of this weekend, see Anthony Kim, didn't watch any PGA Tour. However, I think what it does do, and although I fell foul of this, if you like, it does really water down LIV's credentials, I guess, in being a competitive platform for the best players on earth. To bring somebody back, I almost said from the dead, but to bring somebody back like Anthony Kim after 12 years, when there's no reason why he should be playing that tour. He's not competitive, which has been proven. Now, I don't blame him for taking the check. I would do exactly the same. And I think everybody watching, listening would also do the same for 20 million quid or whatever he's probably got. But really, it does make it a bit more like a circus, in my opinion.
What will be interesting to know if what happens after 12 months, if he doesn't continue,
they'll be gone.
If this is a 1 year, there you go. We weren't going to fill the space anyway. We might as well pay you to fill it, get some more eyeballs. You know, if it was a real fairy tale story, you're going to see him have this horrendous round of his first tournament back. Throughout the season, he might get a bit better. And then the big victories, he stood on that podium in third place next to John Rahm and Dustin Johnson, and that's kind of the story from nowhere to potential success. I don't see it.
That's the Hollywood movie.
It is.
I think
this is real life.
I think in reality, and you know, I'm being a bit harsh on this, but I think essentially we are, and I say we as golf fans, almost being used by, it's almost like, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Can't quite put my finger on the word I want, but you know, we're almost being used. We get sucked in like a moth to the light by this exciting new thing of Anthony Kim back, we've not seen for 12 years, the mystique, the intrigue. You turn on the TV, you turn on YouTube, whatever, to watch it. You essentially give your view, your eyeball to LIV Golf, which essentially then pays for Anthony Kim's wage. And ultimately, it's all a big farce. In my opinion, you know, all the people might be watching thinking it was the best thing ever. And he might go on to, like a Rocky Balboa story. He might go on to win an event. And you know what? But if he was genuinely wanting to get his golf career back, surely, maybe he could not have done that without the help of LIV and the funding potentially, but surely he'd be working his way back up and maybe get on the Corn Ferry or whatever it might be. But just to go straight in and it just, for me, it does.
But he couldn't have gone any other route.
Exactly. But has he been, you know, has he ever came out vocally and said he wants to get back into golf and LIV? I don't know. It's just, they've obviously thought, how can we get more eyeballs on the event in Saudi Arabia? Well, can we get Tiger Woods? Obviously not. Can we get Rory? Maybe not. Maybe in a few months, who knows? What can we do? Let's get Anthony Kim. And it's worked. It's absolutely worked in terms of eyeballs. But for me, it's very hard to have the both. It's hard to have that intrigue in the eyeballs, but still keep it a legitimate, genuine, like the best players on earth tournament. And at the minute, it feels like they kind of do both. They're trying to get John Rahm. They got John Rahm. That makes it kind of more credible. But then you kind of lose some of that credibility by bringing in, you know, by bringing in Anthony Kim. You could, however, argue, you know, it might sound silly, but only last week I think we spoke about the PGA Tour utilising YouTube golf creators to get more eyeballs. It's a similar-ish concept, isn't it?
And that's happening today.
Right, well, there you go.
That round is actually happening today, and we, slight clever on our part, is it 16 of them going for it? I think 8 of them are actual YouTube personalities. 8 of them are like Korn Ferry players.
No fair dues.
So it's not actually all 16 aren't all YouTubers. And I think you mentioned like some of the names you don't know. And I think those are actual Korn Ferry players who have got the opportunity as well.
You know what? It reminds me of a little bit when Liv do these things. Again, I know it's a bit different with like John Rahm because he was justified. But it feels a bit like, you know, when you see a YouTuber from any industry and they post a clickbait video and you get sucked in, you watch it or you watch and you go, oh, that was kind of clickbait. And they do it again. And you go, oh, go on, I'll try it again. And you know that you're going to get clickbaited. It feels a bit like that with Anthony Kim for me, that I knew that he wouldn't perform very well. But there's always a little magical what if.
There was a couple of takeaways from the actual, what's the right word? Live stream that I noticed this week that were different. The dress code for the presenters was much more relaxed.
Right.
Normally they're suited and booted, and it was really, really much more relaxed. You had like Arlo White looking like he had a next, you know, knitted t-shirt on for argument's sake. They're still saying Championship Sunday every single time they can possibly do it. And the other thing, I think apart from maybe when they first announced it, they never called Anthony Kim.
It's AK.
AK through the whole single stream. And it's like, oh my God, AK. But there were a couple of things that I definitely noticed were different. I also actually watched a little bit of the post-round analysis. That was really awkward. Now, this is when the stream stops and then they almost bring on a new show. I think it's Club 54. So there's a Club 54 that happens before, which is actually quite good. You see the guys driving on the driving range and you see a few interviews. And then do one post. There was an interview on there that was really, really awkward, honestly.
Who is it with?
So they've got, I don't know the names of all of them, unfortunately. What's the female presenter called?
I don't know. On Liv, I've no idea.
There's two presenters.
It was normally, Troy Mullins, but she's gone.
Yeah, she's gone. There's normally two presenters that are out on the golf course, and I can't think of the names now. And they brought in this other new presenter. You know, like when X Factor have their main presenters, don't they?
And then they have the spin-off show.
And then when it goes
show.
Like X Factor Plus or whatever, and it has a lesser known presenter doing it. That this kind of lesser known presenter doing it, and there was some. They were talking about the event happening in Hong Kong next week. I wish I'd recorded it now because it was possibly one of the most awkward interactions in the world. The good thing for them, no one was watching. Nobody was watching at that point, apart from me.
You know what was interesting as well, though, and I'm kind of, although I sometimes bash Liv and then sometimes give it a bit of credit or whatever, I think what was interesting was obviously Joaquin Niemann, let's shout at him, he won the event. And Ping Golf, obviously, are still paying him to be an athlete. On the side of his hat, he has got the Ping logo. They've actually tweeted, and I guess on other social media platforms as well, but I saw it on Twitter, on X, as it's now known. They put, another win for Joaquin Niemann, another win for G430, LS Tech, and Blueprint S Irons. Congratulations to the Ping Pro on his victory at Live Golf Jeddah, his second win of 2024.
Ping are the one manufacturer that have really lent into it still.
And you know what? As much as a bad mouth Liv and just saying what I've said about it, I actually respect this because I think sometimes, you know, and this is a broader conversation, not something we're going to get into right now, but like with cancel culture and things and like all this, sometimes this mob mentality, it was very easy and somewhat understandable to a degree when all the brands kind of cut ties to the Liv players because they were scared of the backlash. Let's be honest, that was why it was. It wasn't necessarily because these brands don't believe in money from Saudi Arabia, because most of them, I'm guessing, have got investment from Saudi or there's some connection, you know, you can always find these connections. The reason why most of the brands cut ties was they were worried of the onslaught, the aftermath, what people would say. The fact that Ping are saying, you know what, we pay Joaquin Niemann to be one of our ambassadors and he's won on the Live Tour, let's shout about it. I kind of respect that.
I feel like Ping, when I'm just looking through the Live leaderboard now, I think Ping are the one that's probably got the most connections still with professionals like Louis Oosthuizen, Tyrrell Hatton, Bubba Watson, Lee Westwood, just to name a few. I also, obviously, Shrixon with their connection with Brooks Koepka has still stayed around. And also Nike. When you actually look at it, like Brooks Koepka, the captain of Smash GC, he's the only one that's not wearing uniform. He's still wearing Nike.
If you think about it, what's interesting with that one is, like Nike, we know that golf is such a small category. They can probably say, well, yeah, we'll carry on paying Brooks to wear our stuff. Like, what does it matter if anyone, no one's going to like, her, like, what if suddenly everyone starts buying Nike golf products? Is that going to affect Nike, big Nike? Not at all.
The big boy.
Whereas, like, you know, TaylorMade or you know, Callaway, they might, and understandably so, be more worried about the potential backlash with being aligned to LIV Golf because it could damage their business.
When DJ started... Don't fall into that trap. When Dustin Johnson started...
RS, DJ, AK.
When started wearing LIV, TaylorMade had almost completely cut ties, and that's now changed again because you see Dustin Johnson with a TaylorMade hat on, etc. So, anyway, interesting times. The PGA Tour have gone to a Monday finish. They're having a real...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Really bad time with weather delays, lack of field, lack of big name winners. At the moment, anyway.
We need golf fixing, let's be honest. Again, you know, speaking of other sports one more time, but I've watched a little bit of the newest season of Drive to Survive. I know you're kind of into your F1, and I'm not massively, but the format is just so simple.
Yeah.
There is a team element, yes, and there's the individual element, yes. You know, when the events are on, they're all the big guys. I mean, unless one of them was injured, if you know when the next F1 race is on, Max Verstappen will be in that race.
Yeah.
Hamilton will be in that race.
I'm less confident golf is going to be fixed.
I don't know if it gets... And that's the thing, it's like...
I'm less confident I am now than I was a few months ago.
How does it become fixed, though? Even if you've got all the best players in the world playing, which would be the absolute dream again, like we used to have it. I didn't watch that much golf before LIV, when everybody was in on the PGA Tour or DP World Tour.
You do need less events. I think there's far too much golf on TV.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, but there's far too many options. And you're not guaranteeing the best players at all.
I think you need to guarantee the best players, yes. Like you said, less events, and even making the rounds, not maybe the rounds shorter, but the actual tournaments, like, why does it have to be 4 days? I get that for championships, like the, you know, with the major championships. That's how it always has been. That's how it always should be. But what, like, why does the tournament need to be 4 hours? I don't know.
It's a bit like that question. Who won the F1 this weekend?
Max Verstappen.
Correct. Who won the golf this weekend?
Joaquin Neiman.
No. What golf?
Nice. Isn't it? You reeled me in.
What golf?
Yeah, true.
What golf
very,
are you talking
very
about?
Very, true, yeah.
F1, it's one answer. That's who won that race.
Yeah.
Golf, you could have given me probably four or five answers
well,
there. Because did you see in South Africa, our friend of the show, who was a wee nipper when we filmed with him all those years ago, Robin Tiger Williams, nearly won in South Africa. So you had... DP World Tour, mm-hmm. PGA Tour, I'm sure there's an event on Corn Ferry, LIV Tour, LPGA, the LET,
Yeah.
Where's it start? Who's your winner?
And I think that's, you know, the good thing is now that women's golf is getting more coverage and spoken about more, which is obviously a good thing, and it's great to watch. Certainly the women's majors I'll tune into and do enjoy it. But now that they are getting publicised more so, again, rightly so, but you've got so many different avenues to watch that can put you off.
The only time now, four times a year, can you answer that question I've just asked you correctly?
Yeah.
The four majors. Who won the golf in the second week in April? Masters. Yeah. Because there's only that one real event.
And I suppose the slight difference is, you know, with the football, you've got obviously in England, you've got the Premier League, the Championship, League One, League Two, and obviously it goes down. You might support a team in League Two, but you might also keep your eye on the Championship or the Premier League for whatever reason, you might have a second team. But with that, there's a clear hierarchy of that's the best level of football, and it kind of works its way down. You know, now more than ever, you know, you could argue, well, is LIV the best? Not in my opinion, but some might say it is. Well, is the PGA Tour the best? Well, again, most would say it is. But then what about the weeks where DP World Tour is a really strong field and Rory and John Rahm would have played? Like that suddenly, so you actually have weeks where the DP World Tour, like a Wentworth week, might be stronger than the PGA Tour, but then you've got LIV and it's just like, what is it?
Don't forget some LIV players playing that DP World Tour.
Exactly.
As
so
as
I think
well.
We need a hierarchy fixing. I wouldn't mind if there was four levels of golf because I understand the Corn Ferry. I never watched the Corn Ferry, but I understand what it's there for. And the same with the Challenge Tour. That's not that confusing, is it? It's the feeder tour.
And it's the same with, when we were talking about F1 before, is it F2? You have F3, you have F4, because they're all stepping stones. And a bit like the football, like you have those different leagues, but the league is the Premier League.
I'm conscious when we have these conversations that we're just repeating ourselves. But at the same time, when is golf going to be fixed?
I don't think it is. Honestly, I don't. I genuinely, right now, from a viewer standpoint, And the conversations that are happening behind, obviously there was this strategic alliance last June where LIV or PIF and PJ Tour were talking. That feels like it's totally broken down. Mm. I think that conversation has gone completely off the table. I'm sure it has. I think once that's gone off the table, you can't bring everyone back.
What question then? And I've kind of thought this was answered many times, but for me, it's not been. What do LIV have to do before you say, right, I'm Rick Shields, I'm actually legitimately a LIV fan now? Is it a case of getting Rory? Because in my mind, that would almost fix it, but then it wouldn't, because they'll be thinking, well, Scotty Scheffler's not playing. Like, what do they have to do to make you think it's the best tour, if you like, or the best option?
I think they've got to somehow fix this world ranking issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they fix that world ranking issue, for me, then it's all going to be about which tour has got the majority of the best players in.
Mm.
Really. Because that's the evidence. That's the facts. Which is the best tour? It's the tour with the best players on, right?
Yeah.
At the moment, there's massive question marks around that because nobody knows. Where is Joaquin Niemann in the world ranking right now? Like, he's 100 odd.
Well, did you see his comment of the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he 100 odd?
I'm not sure. I think he's actually higher than that, but yeah, he did say that.
He is not the 100th best player in the world.
Well, I'll tell
right
you
now.
What we'll do. We'll go on the data golf because that's the best way of doing it. So.
So, when you ask that question for me, I do think the product can still be better, definitely, without even a question. But where I'm trying to find it difficult to tune in and what do I want to tune into, and I think that's what the audience is finding difficult at the moment, what am I tuning into, is there's got to be a very clear, not personalities, not who do you prefer watching,
because mm-hmm.
you could argue Bubba Watson is much more entertaining than, I don't want to pick on anyone on the PGA Tour, but some random Tour player, Bubba Watson is more entertaining, but when you're looking at actual facts of which league has got the, or which tour, which tournament has got the best players in the world in, at the moment, that is not easy to navigate.
No. Well, on your point then, this hasn't been updated actually as well. It might be by the time the podcast comes out, so it doesn't include his recent win, Joaquin Niemann, but on Data Golf, they've got him ranked at number 18, whereas at the world golf ranking, he's 72. So I'm guessing, obviously, after this week, his world ranking clearly wouldn't have changed, but his Data Golf might have actually increased.
World ranking might have gone the other way.
Potentially, yeah. So I'm guessing, I don't quite know how this works, not as many people do, but he might be as high as number 12 or 13 in the world on Data Golf, but then 72 in world ranking. And when you look, I mean, I'd advise anyone to have a look on Data Golf. It's a bit of a confusing looking website, but it's really quite interesting because they do their own data. Again, no idea how it works. Someone much, much cleverer than I am. And you look at the rankings versus the actual official world golf rankings, and some of them are absolutely level, and then some of them are absolutely way off. And normally it's the guys, obviously, that are on the LIV Tour were the way off. But yeah, it's interesting.
Really interesting.
So we've had, we've had loads of questions on Facebook. We still obviously love our Facebook group, and we'll come on to those in a moment. But before that, Rick, we've got to discuss the match. So not only, you know, when people say who won the golf at the weekend, you might say Wacky Neiman. Other people might say, spoiler, it's going to be now if you've not seen the match of me versus Rick. The winner was...
I like you say.
Rick Shields. By the skin of his teeth.
I know. It was an interesting round.
It was. There was some interesting comments on the video. I think we have to address a few of those in the sense that it was more serious vibe than people maybe expected, because we wanted to have a genuine match. And I think some of you might have lost that when we have to do the podcast or we play a Break 75 video, it's very, very casual. It's very fun and there's banter, etc.
It's quite forced.
Yeah, forced banter. Before I sit in the... Well, normally, the routine, I get to hit a few balls and then I go into the toilet before I'm in the clubhouse and go, right, guy, be a happy guy. Pretend you like Rick for an hour or two. And it kind of comes across. But when we had the match, it was a little bit more like, right, okay, this is a YouTube video, yes, but the main objective here isn't let's have fun necessarily. Let's make this fun, which it should be, I guess. I know, I get that. But this was a case of let's battle.
I'd have preferred not to have filmed it.
And just had a battle.
Yeah. The thing is very, obviously, I'm joking when I say that, but it is, when you're looking at an actual competitive round of golf, and I think sometimes I don't take that into consideration sometimes when I'm even playing against some of these tour pros, because I'm so focused about an entertaining video,
yeah,
where their main focus is to beat me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always think, like, my main focus, I've got a lot of other focuses going on when I'm playing these 10-shot challenges. Is it to beat Sergio Garcia? Yeah, a little bit, but that's one of five or six things I'm trying to achieve in that day.
Yeah.
Their role is to not say anything stupid, I guess, and to beat me.
Well, literally, and you're thinking, are the cameras working? Is the audio going to be all right? Like, how long is this video going to be? Like,
is it
boring?
Are they having a good time? And like, you know, so in that particular match that we played at Saturday at Beach, it was like, I want to play golf. Mm. I want to stand there and I want to play golf. And it was a really, really fascinating match. You are one of the hardest bloody competitors to beat in the world.
Off
you absolutely
so bad.
Do my head in.
For
the first five or six holes, and again, spoiler alert, go and watch it if you've not watched it. Stop this video, come back to this later. For the first five or six holes, I didn't think you were going to get through the 13th hole.
No.
I absolutely had your hook, line and sinker, and obviously you weren't playing well, not nowhere near your normal standard. I was playing very steady, and I had a little hiccup on six where I found a snarly rough on the left hand side. If that hole would have gone my way, and in the last and seven, eight and nine was where I really messed it up. I doubled six, bogeyed eight, and doubled nine, and you got way back into the match. If I'd have played those three holes okay, it would have been a different ball game.
It was funny as well, because I saw a couple of people, and I know this winds people up, were saying about, why is this guy hitting irons off the tee? And it's twofold. The reason I hit irons off the tee is, for whatever reason, my driver just didn't feel good. I had no confidence. So my theory was, well, I'd rather hit a shot and have a chance at being in play than absolutely know I'm going to lose it. That was my first point. And secondly, I almost thought, you were kind of going a little bit semi-off, and I thought, well, if I can catch you, and also as well, and this is the kind of gamesmanship, I thought, how much are you going to piss and all you if you hit a driver out of bounds or whatever and I hit a six iron down the fairway and winning the hole? Like, it's all gamesmanship. It's trying to win the match. Like, at the end of the day, and I said this in the video, I don't care if I get a triple bogey if I win the hole. It's not stroke play.
I think someone described it really well. I was trying to beat the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
You were trying to beat me.
And at the end of the day, it was a match play event. I know it didn't work out that way. But
I think I was trying to beat the golf course. I was annoyed at certain holes. Even if I'd tied them or won them, I was annoyed with certain holes because I was trying to play the golf course as well as I could.
Well,
where you were trying to play me really well. So it was a really good match play moment. There was a couple of comments saying it's like watching two 15 handicappers, which I totally am against. Like, I think I shot seven over. So you must have been eight or nine over, like, maximum.
I think as well, I read the comments on the video, certainly, you know, when they're like that, they're a bit more interesting. And it sounds bad that to say, but when the comments are all great, that's lovely. But I don't think it's that healthy to read comments that are really good about a video all the time. Cause it can make you get a bit like, you know, I don't know. But when they're more interesting, it's interesting to read them. And I think half of the people that replied, that might put negative things, are just, you know, whatever, they're doing it for a bit of fun. That's how they get their kicks. And I think sometimes people just genuinely don't understand a number of factors. But firstly, you know, my last official handicap was 4. I've said that till I'm blue in the face. Doesn't mean I play to it now. But also, the golf course we're playing, we've never played before. You know, we're often playing them off the back tees. We are filming them, which is a bit of pressure. You know that potentially a million people might watch it.
It was really hot.
It was really hot. Like, there's a lot that goes into it. And it's like that first putt on the first hole I hit, there was absolutely, I steamlined it through. And those things happen in golf. Like, I don't claim to be a great, great golfer. I think people get confused when I talk through what shot I want to hit, which maybe I do a bit too much, admittedly. But it's like, right, when I'm trying to hit a fade, you have to have a shot in your head. It doesn't mean you're going to do that shot at all.
Well, the top comment actually on the video is YouTube golfers are so good at talking through their shot extensively, then doing the complete opposite of what they envision. You never, ever, ever hear of how tour pros think about shots.
No.
And see the shot they hit. I bet they'll do it better than us, granted. But the amount of times they'd actually think about, talk and narrate a shot and not do what they've said they were going to do.
Yeah, well, of course, it's, yeah. Like,
it's just that we're not anywhere near as skilled, but we have to still, if we just stood up there and went, I'm going to hit a shot, whack. Okay, it's gone that way. It's not going to make for a very entertaining video.
No, but anyway, there was also some amazing comments as well, and it was such a fun match. We'll obviously have to have a rematch in the future where, you know, if I play half to my decent standard, it'll probably be a whitewash, and it'll be a 7-6, I'll do, yeah, I think.
Wow.
Because this was a warm-up match, obviously it wasn't a proper one. Proper one has to be on English soil, that's the rules. Broad ones don't really count.
Okay.
Those ones, like, live, don't really count.
Wow.
Playing me properly on English soil would be like PJ Tour. About the Open.
Wow.
And I will take the W. But yes, as I said earlier on,
I'll do it at an open venue then.
Open venue, yeah. St. Andrews. We've had some questions on the Facebook page, and this one really tickled me because I read it and then I looked at the first response and it was so funny. Rick always preaches to get fit. We've never seen him get fit.
I saw this comment.
The comment below. That's not a question. He's literally trained for marathons and talked about it on the podcast and video. So somebody was sticking up for you there.
It's
because
nice
they had read it as I did, to be fair.
I read it as that as
about
well.
Being fit in terms of healthy. And then the guy commented, put fit as in for clubs and shafts. So further, Matt Giles was the guy who asked, and it was Richie Bate who came to your rescue to stick up for you. So bit across wires there. But Rick, they've got a point. Why do these guys not see you get fit for golf clubs? Or you preach about it constantly.
They don't see me get fit from golf clubs because I probably have 8 fittings a year.
Mm.
And it'd get a bit boring if you saw it all the time.
And maybe we should release one. I think the reason we've been conscious of that before is I think you've had some really good fittings, or you have had recently off tight list for some wedges. But then at the same time, and maybe we're being a bit naive when we say this, if you release that video, which we didn't film anyway, but if we'd have filmed it and released it, it starts to naturally look a little bit tight list heavy. And people think, wait, are you getting paid by tight list to do that video? Because it might look that way because Titleist staff are there and they're saying all positive things and you might hit it well, etc. But maybe something we could look to do.
The thing is, I do get fittings from majority of brands throughout the year. It's often very different to what I would class as a filmable fitting session because it's a bit more chatty. It's a bit more like I'm asking certain questions about the products, things that I might ask, I might want to test in a review. And like I say, if I was doing 6 to 8 fittings a year and every one of those were filmed, it kind of get a bit stale. It's not really that, in my opinion, not that very interesting content. But I do get fitted and make sure I have the right shafts, length, lie. I am pretty standard, granted. But obviously things change, brands change. But yeah, I do get fittings for most brands.
Stu Vannett has asked me, how did I get a black eye when I was playing against Rick?
We don't talk about that.
We don't.
I told you, you signed under an NDA for that.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that black eye until that video came out, and there was quite a lot of comments.
Did you have the black eye in the video?
Yeah, but certain angles you can really see it. I forgot, and it was also awkward when the day that you filmed with Tommy Fleetwood and his wife also made a point saying, have you got a black eye? I was like, yeah. So I'd love to tell everybody the story of how I got a black eye, and I'd love it to be an interesting story. Or
why don't you AK it? Or Loch Ness Monster it.
Ah, okay. So just never tell anyone.
Because the less you say, the more mysterious it is.
Yeah, I had a black eye and can't tell you why I had a black eye.
I love that.
It was before our match at
love
some
that.
Point.
Perfect.
There we go. Adam Hardwick. Rick, are you going to Augusta again this year?
It's very interesting to say that. In 9 minutes, I've got a phone call that's arranging flights, transportation, hotels for Augusta National this year. So, yes, I am going to be going back to Augusta National. Whether I get a chance to play it, who knows? But I
played it once. So.
I am going back.
This is one that we've been asked a lot. And
by the way, thanks to Mercedes-Benz for that. For the
Mercedes-Benz, for getting me to
Augusta.
What's your favourite car brand?
Obviously Mercedes-Benz.
Of course it is. Luke Scoble has said, and again, we've created this, so it's only fair we answer it, because it's had a lot of likes, this individual question, and other people asked it as well. And I want a genuine answer. When will Rick play against Jimmy Bullard? Is it something you want to do? Is it going to happen? Will you win? Will you lose? Will it be a serious match? Will it be a fun match? Will it be an English course, a broad course?
When was it when we were going to film with him?
It was pre-Christmas. And I can't remember exactly when, but it was pre-Christmas.
It was like November, December time, wasn't it? And,
yeah.
And at the time, I did cancel it. Because I was running scared. No, I was joking. I can't remember why I cancelled it. The weather was horrendous. I think it was weather. They wouldn't have a lot of time to do it.
I can't remember what it was. There was something.
We were trying to squeeze it.
You're scared.
We were trying to squeeze it into a very small window. And I was going down to London for another reason. That also got cancelled. So anyway, we cancelled it. It would be an interesting match. I think I would need to wear ear defenders. I think he chats a lot. And he chats
as
a good game.
A putting off technique, do you think?
I think he gets in people's heads. Mm. He just chats and chats and chats and chats. I'm not sure if I could be doing with it.
I've got a question for you then. And this is maybe a deeper one. But say if you went to go and play Jimmy, which would be a great video. And I think at some point we'll do it for sure. But like, what part of it is you want to go and win? And what part of it is it making a good video? Because you don't want to lose. Of course you don't want to lose. But at the same time, if you lost, but it was a massive feud video, that's again a double-edged sword. Because you're like, well, I've lost. But yeah, I've got, as a YouTuber, a huge video out of it. But a lot of people have watched me lose.
I think I don't mind losing against people I'm okay losing against.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
What about Jimmy then?
I think I should beat him. So that's where, like, if I lost against Grant Horvat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that video on our channel, I didn't lose, I won. But if I did, and it was an amazing video, okay. I'm almost expecting to lose that
match. So where does this line then fall of people that, Peter Finch?
I don't mind losing to him.
Okay.
I don't want to, granted, but if he beats me, as long as I put up a good fight, I'm fine. I definitely didn't want to lose against you.
Correct.
I definitely don't want to lose against Jimmy Bullard. That particular day, I definitely didn't want to lose against Grant that time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain, like, you know, there is definitely this kind of, it's an invisible buckets I put people into.
Okay.
There's a bucket of like, yeah, you know what? I respect that game. I can, if I lose against them, I lose against them. There's another bucket I'm like, I can't lose against that person.
But does that then put you off sometimes playing it because the risk of losing is too big?
And the risk of losing is never too big.
Not the risk of losing, but the, if you think you should beat that person, you don't want to lose, but you do.
It's, you know what? It's a little bit like, I bet it's like a boxer. And I've got the belt. I don't, why do I
have
need,
you got the belt?
Well, not right now, but I've got our belt.
Lallan Scott belt.
It's like, do I need to give up that belt?
But yeah, but the difference is with the boxer, that's all they're considering. You're a YouTuber, not a golfer.
True.
So I, working for you, would rather you get a million viewed video and lose personally than you not play him. Because I want to get the million views.
I'd rather get 100,000 views and beat him.
Oh, that's we're in the wrong game. Rick, join Liv.
I could
see you on Liv next year. RS, get paid 50 million quid. I'll retire. That's fine.
I think I would like to play more competitive golf. Whether Jimmy's the first match, I don't know.
Okay.
Some point.
So Josh Coulthard has said, are Tour Pros golf clubs different to what the average person can buy from the pro shop? I know the club design, the model, etc. are the same. It's something that happens in pro cycling, apparently. The pro riders will have the same model bike as an average cyclist could buy, but it will have been manufactured to a higher standard.
Well, that's our resident bike.
So Matt used to be a professional cyclist.
Matt, are you mic on?
My mic is on. You're in my ballpark now.
Is there any truth in that statement?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
There's not much more to add to that, to be honest.
He said yeah in a way. He was going to go, yeah, so. And he went, yeah. And they just paused.
I would agree with that statement. I think the equipment is the same, but they are picking the best product. So if TaylorMade, for example, make 1,000 drivers, they'll test them for what the hottest drivers are. Those hottest of the hottest of the hottest that are legal still will go to the tour truck, won't they?
Yeah, and I think
the rest of them will be sold.
I think irons is a different one. I think certainly the big guys, you know, your Tigers, your Rorys, probably get like hand-forged irons, don't they, and putters and wedges, but you're right. And then golf ball, you know, the only thing with golf ball is often like certainly Titleist players like Adam Scott's want to know that will use an old version of a Pro V1 that you can't buy anymore. But I think, and the shafts, they obviously have tour issue shafts, which I think, unless I'm mistaken, I'm sure someone will correct me if I am, but tour issue staffs or shafts are essentially, they'll get 1,000 7-iron shafts, whatever, and they'll pick the best one that you just said. And
so in theory, it's not different. It's just they're getting the best of the bunch.
Yeah. I think, yeah, that's fair. Debbie has said, Debbie Kellynook, I think her name is, and this is probably the last question. How do you decide between buying new clubs or lessons?
How do you decide? That's a good question. Me personally, as a golf coach, I personally know that lessons make golfers better. Mm-hmm. Buying new golf clubs don't always make golfers better.
That's my answer. I've got a noisy chair. My answer would be whichever is going to make you hit more golf balls and enjoy it more.
Nice.
Because ultimately, if you buy a new set of irons and you go to the range 6 times every week for the next month, you're probably going to get better at golf as a result of that, not the actual clubs, if that makes sense.
I like that. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Be sure to like and subscribe. We shall see you next week.
You need to don't forget your championship belt as well on the way.
Okay,
out.
Thanks. We'll set that game up with Jimmy. It made me sound a bit scared there, but I'm not. I'm definitely not.
Why are you shaking under the table, Rick?
I'd beat him. I just need ear defenders, and I just need to go in game mode. But I fear game mode, Rick, isn't making good videos, Rick.
What about? Yeah, that's a good point. Well,
I can get it.
Bit of a balance.
Guys, thanks for watching, listening. As always, see you next week.
Superb. There he goes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.